So now you come to Muzdalifah. The first thing that you do is you pray your Salatul Maghrib and Salatul Isha. You combine the two prayers. The adhan is called, one iqamah is said, and Salatul Maghrib is done. As soon as Salatul Maghrib is completed, then Salatul Isha is prayed. Obviously, there's no congregational form there because people are arriving at different times, so the groups within themselves just get someone to lead the Salat and they do their Salatul Maghrib and Salatul Isha there. Now, no matter how late you get to Muzdalifah, whether it be 2 in the morning, 3 in the morning, you will not do your Maghrib and Isha until you have arrived in Muzdalifah. No matter how late. Even Maghrib, keep that in mind, yes. It could be at 2 in the morning, but you will be combining the two prayers. No matter how late you get there, you will be doing your Salatul Maghrib and Isha there. And now it's time for you to look for your pebbles. You have to collect your pebbles. It is sunnah to collect your pebbles in Muzdalifah. A lot of people don't do it. You know, they start collecting pebbles somewhere else and they get them from somewhere else. It's not sunnah. The Prophet ﷺ collected his pebbles in Muzdalifah. So we should make an effort to go and collect our pebbles in Muzdalifah. Correct me if I'm wrong. The water ran out in Muzdalifah last year. Right. Okay, yes. The water ran out, believe it or not. So see, now that's, you're being tested now. You're really being tested. So be prepared. Don't complain when you get there. Imagine they have water for 2, 2.5, 3 million people. Imagine what happened 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago. SubhanAllah, you know, they went on camels and they had their water. They used to carry their water with them. So we shouldn't be complaining. We should only be thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So now you will collect your pebbles. It is a little dark. So if you have a flashlight, sometimes it helps. But again, that's extra weight. Your pebbles, they shouldn't be too small, and then they shouldn't be rocks, right? They should be, you know, they should be the size of not a pea but a garbanzo bean. The reason is because if they're very small, and if you're, you know, if you're far away, then it doesn't have the weight, it might not go there. But then again, if it's a little bigger, you know, because of the weight and its size, you might be able to make it inside. And if it's very big and you don't make it inside, you just might get someone's head. Right? And a lot of people have usually made Umrah and have made Halaq even before they go for Hajj. So they're all nice and bald. So, you know, you don't want to hit someone on the head. So please be careful. And then, you know, we will get to it. But when you go to throw your stones at the shaitan, don't throw slippers and umbrellas. And people have all kinds of ideas. You know, just that pebble is good enough, don't worry. So now you will gather your pebbles and Muzdalifah. This is where if you have your bed sheet with you or you have a sleeping bag with you, usually it helps. Because the sleeping bag or the mattress that your tour operator has given to you, you usually leave it in Mina. Sometimes you bring it with you, it just depends. But in Muzdalifah, there's no place to sleep. So if you arrive there at 12:01 in the morning, you know, now you need a place to sleep. If you can sleep on the seats of the bus, subhanAllah, you know, that's good. You can get to sleep. Some people don't sleep. But, you know, again, it's a test. A lot of the tour operators will ask you to leave Muzdalifah and go to Mina as soon as you arrive into Muzdalifah. They'll give you enough time to pray your Salatul Maghrib, Salatul Isha, to gather your pebbles. And it's 3 in the morning and they say, let us go back to Mina. Now, according to the Ahnaf, to stay from Subh Sadiq until the Tulu', until sunrise, from the time when Salatul Fajr begins until the time when Salatul Fajr ends is mustahab. But to even stay for a little while within that time, it's wajib. It is wajib. So if you leave Muzdalifah at 2 or 3 in the morning and you don't have a valid excuse, you have left out a wajib, which results in a dhamm, right? Unfortunately, many people do certain things wrong and they say, oh, it's only a dhamm. The reason they say that is because a dhamm only costs $100. Go and ask someone who converts his rupees or whatever to buy one cup of tea, right? You know, tea for them is expensive. 1 rial is 10 rupees or 11 rupees. For us, 1 rial is 30 cents. But for that person, it's 10 of whatever his currency is. Imagine telling him that you have to do a dhamm. Oh, no, 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 no. You know, there's no way I'm going to do anything wrong. Now, just because we can easily take out, you know, $100, we think, oh, no problem, I'll give a dhamm. But we should keep in our minds and our hearts that this is my hajj and I'm going to do it correctly. I'm going to make sure I go through all the right avenues. I'm not going to take any shortcuts. It is wajib to stay even for a few seconds during that time. So please make sure that you stay in Muzdalifah until the morning. Don't leave Muzdalifah until you have unless you have a valid excuse. For many people, a valid excuse is having a woman with them. Having a female with them is a valid enough excuse for them to go back to Mina. That's not acceptable. For many people, they have all kinds of so-called valid excuses. You want to do your Hajj correctly. You want to make sure you stay there. If the tour operators go, they go. You know, what's going to happen? What's the worst that could happen? You're going to get lost. Is that all? I mean, really, you know, it really can't get any worse than that. And nowadays, alhamdulillah, they have maps. You can buy, you know, as soon as you arrive Jeddah Airport, they start giving you maps. So you can actually open your map. You can actually pinpoint your tent in Mina. And even if you get lost, you can actually find where you live. As soon as it's Salatul Fajr, now it is time for you to go back to Mina. You will return to Mina. This is a big day. This is a difficult day. As soon as you reach Mina, the first thing that you have to do. Now, if you're a Hanafi, if you follow the Hanafi madhab, you have to follow tartib. You have to go accordingly. You have to do one thing after the other. The first thing that you do is you have to go and pelt the shaitan. On the first day, you only pelt the big shaitan. The big shaitan is the last one. When you're walking, it's the first, second, it's the third shaitan. So the first day you only pelt is seven. Right? You have to pelt that shaitan seven times, and that's the only pelting that you do on the 10th of Dhul-Hijjah, the first day of the pelting. The second thing that you have to do is animal sacrifice. You have to do a sacrifice. Especially if you're doing tamattu, and many of us will be doing tamattu, we have to sacrifice an animal. And the third thing that you have to do is shave, the halaq, getting your hair cut. Now, if you follow the Hanafi madhab, it is difficult. It is difficult. The reason is because you have to make sure that you do your rami first. Which means you have to make sure that your animal sacrifice is not done before you do your rami. And you also have to make sure that your sacrifice, your haircut is done after your animal sacrifice. You cannot do it before your animal sacrifice. Which immediately leaves out the fact to go to the bank and giving them $100 to do your sacrifice for you. Every bank in Mecca and Medina have these big signs outside, and they say they do your animal sacrifice for you, 300 and so many riyals, which equals to something or somewhere close to $100. Difficult scenario. When do you know when, what time they're going to do your sacrifice? They say that all the sacrifices are done by 10 o'clock. How can you imagine? Well, first of all, how can you imagine that the sacrifice of so many, let's not say millions, but hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people are done by 10 o'clock? Secondly, even, okay, let's say, you know, alhamdulillah, they say that the sacrifice is done by 10 a.m. on the 10th of Dhul-Hijjah. Can you guarantee that you will be in Mina before 10 o'clock and do your rami? Because sometimes you might not be able to get to Mina before 10 o'clock and do your rami. Or you might be able to get to Mina, but because you're so tired, you want to relax a little bit, get something to eat, and then go and do your rami. Depending on where you live in Mina, that walk could be 10, 15, 20, 25, 30 minutes. So how can you guarantee that these banks will be doing your qurbani, your animal sacrifice on time? That is why you only have two options. Number one, once you have pelted the shaitan, you go and do your sacrifice yourself. Or secondly, usually you find certain people that live there, don't worry, you come across a lot of these people who usually make sure that they do your animal sacrifice for you. Usually someone in your tour knows someone or somewhere. There's usually certain kind of contacts. You have to ask around. It's not just going to happen. You have to make a little effort. So please make sure. Now, problem. If you don't follow the tartib, if you don't follow the order, dam becomes wajib. Another animal sacrifice becomes wajib upon you. So please make sure you do that on time. You do your, you know, you do it accordingly. Now, rami on the first day begins after sunrise. Although it actually begins as soon as the time for Fajr begins, but from the time when Fajr begins until sunrise, it is makruh to do your rami on the first day. It is mustahab to do your rami from tulu', from sunrise until zawal, until the time of dhuhr. And then it is mubah, in other words, it's correct for you to do your rami until the time of Maghrib. And then after Maghrib to the Subh Sadiq of the next day, it is makruh to do your rami. So now you're in Mina, you have arrived Mina, you go and you pelt the shaitan. This is, for many of us, this will be the first time. It's not easy, it is a little difficult. Depends, sometimes you get lucked out, you know, there's no one there, really. The best thing to do is, you know, again, you take the pebble, you say, Bismillahi Allahu Akbar, and you throw. There's a very big circle, and then there's a pillar that's coming out in between. You don't have to make sure that your pebble hits the stone pillar. It just needs to go inside that very big circle. It's about the size of, you know, it's very big, so don't worry. But a lot of people, you know, because it's very difficult to get close to it, many people end up doing it from far away. You have to make sure that your pebble went inside. If by mistake you threw two in one go, it's only one. You could take all seven and throw them, it's only one. That's only counted as one. There's a lot of people there. What you want to do is you want to take, before you actually reach, people have different experiences. Now you have a little highway that goes from the top. So you can either pelt the shaitan from the bottom or from the top. I like doing it from the top. It just depends on your personal experiences. Before you kind of get to the crowded area, and then you don't want anything with you. Nothing, not even a bottle of water. Although you really need water when you come out the other side, but you don't even want that with you. It gets very difficult and tense. I would take out my pebbles, about 10 pebbles in my left hand, and then I would go. And as I would come close, I would, you know, pelt the shaitan 7 times, move to the side, take out another few, and do the second shaitan, take out another few, and then do the third one. But obviously the first day you only have to do one. That is kind of your, it's not a practice run, but you know, you only have to do one, so it's a little easier. So you go towards there, close by, and you pelt the shaitan. You say, Bismillah, Allahu Akbar, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.